Okay, Karen Willis, thanks very much for talking to us on International Women's Day.
No problems at all.
You've been writing online a bit this week about victim blaming. Why is this a conversation that we need to keep having, that victim blaming isn't helping anyone?
Because it actually doesn't truly represent what happens when it comes to sexual assault. When someone experiences sexual violence, the responsibility for the violence is completely and utterly with the offender. Nobody does anything that asks for or deserves or puts them in a position where they should experience sexual violence. So often when it comes to sexual assault, we're so quick to blame the victim. You know, if someone says, I've been robbed, we go, oh, you poor thing. But if someone says, I've been sexually assaulted, we want to know where they were, what they were doing, how they were dressed, had they been drinking, had they taken drugs, had they had sex before, had they had sex with that person before, and did they say no? Because, you know, the average sex offender really listens to that. 20 questions before we actually even consider where they're telling us, you know, about experiencing the most appalling of crimes. So we need to move away from looking at what the victim did and start to say, actually, what was the offender up to? Where did they think they'd get off doing that sort of stuff? What were they doing out there? And how dare they think they can treat people in such a way?
It seems to me that the victim blaming mentality is harmful to men as well. Why don't people understand that?
Well, and in fact, you're absolutely correct. There's a whole range of victim blaming techniques that if I was a bloke, I'd be wanting to get rid of. I mean, the first one is that idea that it's about uncontrolled lust and that blokes can't help themselves and men will offend if given an opportunity, where, of course, that's completely wrong. The vast majority of men are highly ethical in their practices towards women and kids and are just as appalled by sexual assault as we are. So, yeah, the victim blaming and the myths around sexual assault really do go both ways, and they're a bit of an insult to everybody. What they also do is cover up the facts of sexual assault and allow offenders to get away with their behaviours and actually stop victims from coming forward and talking about what's occurred.
The Australian Institute of Family Studies has done a report on how emerging communication technologies like social media and mobile phones can create more opportunities for the perpetration of sexual violence. What can you tell us about that?
I actually think that it's not necessarily creates more opportunities. What it does is give another set of tools. I think people who sex offend will sex offend regardless. And they'll all have techniques and practices, but I don't think any particular thing gives a sex offender or makes a sexual offender offend more. I think perhaps it gives them other options, but I don't know that it actually increases sex offending.
How might the situation be different for women in urban and rural contexts? Is sexual violence more prevalent in rural areas, and is there the same level of support for women in these situations?
What we do know is that both sexual assault and domestic violence is experienced at higher rates per capita in rural areas than in Sydney areas or built-up areas. And you're absolutely correct that in rural areas the resources aren't there. The other problem, of course, too, in rural and regional areas is that because of our victim-blaming attitudes, if someone wants to make a complaint within a small community about the violence they've experienced, it may often mean that they're actually criticised within their community. And for some women, it actually means having to leave that community and going elsewhere. So they've been sexually assaulted. They access criminal justice, as is their absolute right. And then they're punished by their communities and need to leave. So it can be even more difficult for women in rural areas. And it's probably why we also see a fairly low reporting rate in those places.
So what can be done to help these women speak up and not blame themselves as victims?
Look, there's three key reasons why people don't report. One is fear of the criminal justice process, and I get that. It is a difficult process. The second is their relationship with the offender. What we know about sexual assault is that in 70% of circumstances, the offender is a family member, a close family friend, someone the person goes to work or school with. The remaining 30% is generally someone the person meets in a social situation or goes out on a date with. Stranger danger is actually less than 1% of the violence that occurs in our society. So the relationship with the offender is the second big reason why people don't report. But the third and overwhelmingly biggest reason is those victim-blaming attitudes. And women feel that if they say what's happened, they're going to be blamed, they're going to be held to account. They'll say to us, look, I did have a couple of drinks, or, you know, I did let him in the door, or I did do this or that, and so therefore I'm going to be blamed. So the biggest thing that the rest of us can do is actually stop thinking that way and stop accepting those myths and understand that sex offenders will zero in on those vulnerabilities. They will use those myths and misbeliefs in our society to identify victims and to commit their acts and then use those myths as a way of excusing their behaviours. And the sooner we step up to the mark and say, no, what you've done is wrong and those excuses aren't acceptable and the person who you've assaulted has every right to take criminal justice action and right towards recovery. You're the person who's wrong here. You're the person who shouldn't be doing what you were doing rather than saying that to the victim. That's going to be the biggest step towards reducing the incident of sexual assault and when it does occur, reducing the impacts of that violence on the person. And, of course, it will encourage more people to come forward and speak about what they're doing. That's something that all of us can do. That's not something that the people over there are responsible for. Every single one of us can take that sort of action and not accept those myths or misbeliefs anymore, not blame the victim, understand the facts around sexual assault and say that behaviour is just not on and it needs to be eliminated from our society.
Soon there'll be a new National Centre for Excellence to reduce domestic violence. Can you tell me what types of things this new National Centre will be doing?
Absolutely. The Centre for Excellence is part of the national plan to reduce violence against women and children, and it is about sexual assault as well as domestic violence. And the concepts are around looking at research, around standards, best practice, about how can we do what we do better. It's about looking at tertiary interventions, which is things like jail, secondary interventions, which is things like counselling and criminal justice process, and then primary preventions, which is that broad-based education and behaviour change across our community. So how we do what we do well, what we can improve, and how we can do the whole lot of it much better than what we currently do.